Mabuhay. Welcome to SBS Filipino. I'm Mark Liabres, and today I'll be talking sports with former professional rugby league player Kevin Gordon, who currently resides in Los Angeles, California. Kamusta, Kevin?
Kamusta. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Yeah. I interviewed your older brother, Dennis. He was doing great work with the Philippines National Rugby League earlier this year. However, could you refresh our memories to where your family is from in the Philippines and which side of the buko tree is Filipino?
Yeah, my mum is from Pangasinan. I think it's just a bit north of Manila. Yeah, we still have a lot of family over there, and yeah, me and Dennis have visited there a few times. And yeah, I went back there when I was 16 and seen all the family and had a big reunion, so that was good. Yeah.
You are the sixth Filipino heritage athlete to play professional rugby league in Australia. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's a big honour, you know, representing the Philippines. Rugby league's not a very big sport for them. So, yeah, to be the sixth player is pretty big for me. And I'm just happy I got to, you know, represent Philippines in the rugby league, national rugby league, and hopefully did everyone proud. And
did you know where you were sort of placed in terms of numbers, or did you know any Filipinos that played before you?
I knew like Craig Wing, and but yeah, I didn't really know the other four.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So you didn't know Paul Sheedy was one of them?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
You made your NRL debut in 2009 for the Gold Coast Titans. Tell us about your debut game, and when did you start believing that you were a genuine first grader with the Gold Coast Titans?
Call up, I was just been training with the first grade, and it was round three of 2009 that I was actually at uni, and I was on the toilet, and I got a message from the manager from the first grade, and said, "Oh, come to training. I think you should be playing this week." And I was just like, "What?" And I was just like, jumped off and just started running down the hallways, just cheering, and I was like one of the happiest moments of my life, like a dream come true. You know, just having that first run, it was like finally did it. You know,
like. Where was it at Titans?
Yeah, it was pretty much like a dream debut for me. It was Friday night at home in Robina,
yep.
Gold Coast. It was a pretty big crowd, and we ended up winning the game. And the only thing I didn't get a try, but other than that, it was like a perfect debut. And I think, just after that game, I played pretty good, and I just thought, you know, I could really be a good first grader, you know, a regular. So I think just from the first game, I sort of knew that, you know, this is where I was meant to be. And
oh, good. Okay.
All the hard paid off. So
yeah. it didn't take long that you to feel comfortable.
No, actually, yeah, my first game was pretty good, and after that, I think my confidence just blew up, and I was playing good and stayed in the top grade ever since then, pretty much.
Speaking of which, you've played 118 NRL games, scored 58 tries, represented New South Wales country origin, and toured Papua New Guinea with the Australian Prime Minister's 13. What is your greatest achievement, if not them?
Yeah, I'll probably have to be playing for Australia, even though I was the Prime Minister's, representing the country.
Well, speaking of which, do you have a favourite or memorable NRL game? It doesn't have to be your own, but do you remember the fondest memory of rugby league you have?
Yeah, obviously the debut. But probably one of my favourite games was, I think it was 2009 or 2010. We made the finals against the Broncos. Yeah, we're playing at home in Robina, and, you know, Broncos and the Titans have a big rivalry, and I think we had the biggest crowd we've ever had there. And just like, as soon as you run out on the field, you couldn't hear anything. It was like probably the only game where I couldn't hear anything. Like, I couldn't even hear my inside centre. Like, the whole game was just loud, and like, my ears were just blowing up, and
wow.
we didn't win the game, but we still, like, just that experience of just everything, you know, just was that big, and the rivalry, and I scored two tries that game, and, you know, just, yeah, probably one of my favourite games just to play in, just the atmosphere.
Was that one of those games where you got, like, pumped and threw in the sideline? Was it that game?
Nah, it was about it. That was Penrith game. That's the one on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In that game, or just in your Titans career, who was your, I guess, most influential player?
Yeah, probably me and Matt Rogers. We got along pretty well. We always had like competitions in the gym, and yeah, he was pretty. Out of all them, my old guys, he would probably be the most influential. You know, we got along a lot, and yeah, him and probably Preston Campbell. He's just learning off him. You know, he just you wouldn't talk that much, but you just learn from all his actions and just the way he is. Probably them too.
Do you have a favourite NRL player, or who was your favourite athlete growing up?
Well, NRL growing up, probably Andrew Johns.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
In the NRL, but professional athlete, probably like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, right. It sits you. Knowing you a little bit, Bruce Lee is probably a fitting answer for you. Why do you think it's difficult to make it as a professional athlete? Think of all the guys you've played with, and I'm sure you've questioned why this particular player didn't make it, and why some guys don't, and they had all the talent and all the luck in the world. Why do you think guys like that don't make it?
Hard work, you know, just putting the work in. It's just, you really got to be passionate and disciplined and, you know, committed to whatever profession, you know, you want to be the top at, you know. I think, yeah, just when the going gets tough, you know, you see the true character come out, and I think, you know, talent can only get you so far, you know, then you got to put that work in. You know, it's just like a formula. You just put the work in and it's going to happen. But most people aren't disciplined enough to put the work in. So once they realise how much you got to put in, then they need to just take the easy way out, you know. So if they don't have the drive, the passion to do it, they're gonna fall out the back, you know. So I think it just comes down to putting the work in.
Was there any challenges you faced being Filipino or Asian in rugby league growing up, especially, you know, you're from Coffs Harbour, country New South Wales?
Nah, not really. I was pretty skinny back in the day. That's probably, it didn't really affect me because I had the speed to run around them. So pretty lucky to be blessed with the speed. And for a Filipino, I was pretty big. Had a bit of size on me. So I was pretty lucky to get some good genes there. I know my dad used to be pretty tall, so it might have been that.
Moving on. Now you toured Philippines and Thailand in 2013 to play in an historical match, the very first full international game held in Asia of rugby league. What is your proudest moment representing the Philippines, and what is your fondest memory of that tour or any tour with the Philippine Tamarows?
Yeah, I think just representing the country, you know, just putting on that jersey, it's just like any country. You represent the country, you're representing all the people that live there, and just a huge honour, you know, just playing in a game like that, especially the first one ever in Asia, and yeah, such a big honour, and yeah, I'm grateful that I got the opportunity to be in that, and probably one of my fondest memories was playing with my brother again.
Oh, right, yeah.
Haven't played since school.
He said the same thing, actually.
Yeah, because, probably my fondest memory. We were out in the field and I actually got to play on the same side as him. He was centre and I was wing, and we're just out there on the field just joking around. Just like, oh, this is it. Now we're finally having fun again, you know, just me and my brother playing footy and, you know, playing for your country as well. So
Yep. Being Philippines, what do you think is the best athletic qualities that Filipinos possess?
Hard work, I reckon. We work heaps hard, you know, especially... Yeah. My mum, she's a hard worker. She goes to work all day, then she comes home, cooks dinner for everyone. I think just that character of just working hard at everything.
Interesting. Well, who have been the most influential people in your life?
It would have to be my family. My mum's always, you know, been there, cooking food for me and looking after me, having the support there. And yeah, my dad, he always drove me to training, you know, you sort of take that for granted once you grow up, but once you look back and see like everything he's done, sort of like I wouldn't have been here without him, you know. Yeah, I'm thankful for that, and yeah, I probably wouldn't have made it this far without him. So
on that note, we often see the rewards, never the hard work, training, blood, sweat and tears. How often did you train? and what did you do to relax?
Yeah, well, I try to train as much as I can, really, just especially when I got to the under-20s phase. I was just, like, I'd go to under-20s and train, then I'd come home, then I'd go training again. It might be, like, 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock, then I'd go home, just, I don't know, do some sprint training or some sort of training, you know, because what you do at training, that's the standard, you know, that's what everyone's doing.
Yep.
So if you want to be better than them, you have to do more than what they're doing. So you'd have to go and do that. Then what you do after that is how much better you're getting than everyone else, you know. So that's like the philosophy I had. So I always tried to do as much as I can while my body could hold it, you know. Like if I did like sprinting on my legs or something, I tried to do swimming to some other part of my body that I could do, you know. Just
wow, yeah. Just
get the maximum training I could out of a day. Wow. So yeah, it's sort of like the.
So did you even relax? Was that question even relevant for you?
Yeah, I tried it, but sort of, yeah, it was always there in my head. When you're that passionate about it, it's always in there in your head, and resting's always, well, it's with physical, like, professions, you have to rest your body and that. But everything else you do is just minor compared to, you know, doing what you want to do, you know, just for training and that, so. I'd probably just, you know, play PlayStation, hang with my mates every now and then, make some videos.
Yeah, yeah, you're very famous for videos. But look, Kev, that's a great answer, which kind of leads me to, a good segue for the next question. What was the best advice given to you as a kid, especially those times when you're doing extras?
I didn't really get that much advice, so I sort of just put it on myself, really. My dad always used to say, keep your nose clean, but that was just, don't do anything stupid, really, yeah. But I never really got that I can remember, like that big of advice that I remember, but yeah, I don't know, I sort of just pushed myself, never really needed the words of advice, you know, sort of words of advice to myself, really, just, that's your biggest influencer, voice in your head, just telling you, keep going every day, and be consistent, and you know, stay disciplined.
Before living in Los Angeles, after 7 seasons in the NRL, why did you retire in rugby league, and what are you doing now, post-career?
Well, yeah, pretty long story, but I sort of had thoughts of it, like even before, probably like a year before I retired, maybe 2 years, I'll be out in the field, I'll be just wondering, you know, why am I doing this, you know, just getting the ball and running into someone, like, I'm just like, what the hell, why am I doing this, and I sort of just keep the thoughts in the back of my head, you know, just... So don't worry about it, just focus on the game, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, it's good money and, you know, you train this hard to be here, you know, stop thinking these thoughts and they just kept getting bigger and bigger and then we ended up getting a new coach and he didn't like me, so that wasn't going good. I started getting injuries, that sort of put me down as well and, you know, breaking up with my girlfriend, so everything was just breaking down at the same time. But I think when you go through the phases, it really opens you up to find out who you really are as a person, what you're doing with your life pretty much. And so I went through a deep time of about 6 months of just thinking about what I wanted to do and read heaps of books about everything. And yeah, just had a few signs as well. Like, I don't know, I'm a believer of everything happens for a reason and you get signs from everywhere. One of the biggest signs was when I broke my nose. Went and seen the doctor. This is at the start of the year where I retired, 2015 or whatever. And the doctor goes to me, or the nurse goes, oh, there goes your acting career. And I was like, what'd you say? I was like, when something just hits you that hard, you know, it's like pretty much a sign just hit me in the face, literally. And I'm like, fuck, that's what I want to do, eh? And I think ever since then, I was just thinking, I had to think how to get out of this contract. Because I had a contract for another 2 years. So I had to think about how to get out of it, and so I couldn't really say anything. My manager was organising it all, and yeah, at the end of the year, I just came to the, pretty much mid-year, I sort of made a decision, though, but I had to be quiet about it because my manager was sorting it out, and yeah, I just said, then once my manager sorted it all out, I was able to, you know, let the bird out of the cage and just tell everyone. Yeah, because I always loved making like videos and being weird. And, you know, before football, a lot of videos of me making weird stuff and weird videos. And it's always, I love creating stuff, you know.
Yep.
We're all creative beings, and that's my way of expressing myself, I think. So, yeah, I think, yeah, anything in art, like just creating videos or music, and I'm really passionate about, so.
You're in Hollywood now, pursuing an acting career. Can we see you in a movie soon, or can we expect to come out and see you at the cinemas?
One day, you'll see me.
Okay, cool. Dennis told us you were in a Chinese movie.
Oh, yeah, that was my first feature film. I filmed it at the end of last year, so yeah, I ended up getting a role right out of school. I did school for 8 months and ended up getting this role in this Chinese movie. It was pretty small, but that was my first feature, so I was like pumped up and was like, yeah, finally, I did it.
What's the movie called?
LA Kidnapping. It's in, up in it's in Chinese.
All right, so they dubbed you.
But, it's out there.
All right, good. We'll probably look out for it. Moving on. As you said, you love your videos. You love your acting. You're mucking around, goofing around. I know it. But for the, I guess, the Filipino community out here in Australia and possibly in the Philippines, your Aladdin Flying Magic Carpet ride. Tell us about that. It blew up over the internet. I saw it on American news at one stage.
Yeah, that was probably one of my biggest hits. about two years ago, but I was just mucking around. It was like that Dub Smash app came out. I remember I was making a video before a game or like a little version of it. I was getting the blanket and I was flying through the air.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the first version of that. Then I got home and I showed my mates, and then all of a sudden just thought about putting the carpet on the skateboard and going down the road. So yeah, I just ended up getting on there and my mate filmed it and just put it out there. Then I didn't know it was going to go blow up at that video out of all the videos I make. And yeah, then woke up the next morning and had like a million and just blowing up. So. Yeah.
So. If you haven't seen it, guys, check it out. It's quite an entertaining video. now, Kev, I have to ask all the following guests on SBS these questions. Are you ready? Can you sing us a verse of the Philippines national anthem? I know you've been practicing.
Yep. I think I got the first one.
Go, have a crack.
Bye, I'm McGee. I had it.
No, it's all good, man. You're like only the third or fourth guest that has ever done it, so, mate, you should be proud. Keep going. Oh, I don't know, mate. I struggle myself. okay, just based on this interview, and you've been already inspirational, you've been honest and opened up so far, what advice would you give to any Pinoy to inspire them to pursue a professional sporting career or even go down your path?
I really just think, make sure it's the right thing you want to do, you know, make sure it's what you truly want to do. Just have a deep think about what you really love doing as a person. You know, put everything aside, put your ego aside, put what your parents want you to do aside, put what your friends are doing, you know, just strip it all down and just find out what you really love to do before you actually go and do something. So, like in any profession, you know, it's going to take a lot of hard work, and if you don't really love it and you're not really passionate about it, you're not going to make it to the top of it, you know, not going to make a career out of it or do it for a living, you know. It's a matter of time before it catches up to you, you know. So when you're choosing a profession or trying to figure out what you love to do, you know, just make sure you take the time to really think about it and make sure it's the right thing to do before you go out and pretend that it's what you want to do and you work so hard, and you know, most people figure it out when they're like 50. Like they think, oh, this is not what I want to do. And by then, it's bloody lost 50 years of your life. So just take a deep heart, think now before you figure it out later in life. You know, so yeah. And once you figure it out, just work hard and just believe in yourself. Just put the work in, and it'll happen.
You are having a Filipino fiesta. Three persons, dead or alive, you would like to have as your dinner guests?
Well, I'd have to be Bruce Lee, put Arnold in there, Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
He's done what I've done. He's done what I wanted to do.
Yep.
Sports acting. I'd have to put a girl in there to keep the ratio nice and even. Wonder Woman, she's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Or Cara Delevingne, what's her name? She's right as well.
All right, who would start the conversation?
I'll just come in and say, my name's Kevin.
Kevin Gordon. That's great. What Filipino dish will you serve to Arnie, Bruce Lee, and Wonder Woman?
I'll put up my signature fried rice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that'll be the side. And the main would be get the pork adobo.
All right.
In there.
Yep.
And for dessert, we'll have bit of taro.
Oh, taro ice cream.
Taro ice cream. And you just make me hungry thinking about it.
Yeah. You're going to whip something up later on. Well, they're great dishes. And I'm sure your guests will like them. What is your favorite Filipino word? What are you going to teach them? And why?
I know. One of my favorites, but I'll just teach them masarap. Because going to be
Master Up. Because it's made by Kevin Gordon.
Cool.
Oh, cool. All right. This is the ultimate question for you. Now, I know you'll have a number of classic songs to choose from, but what is the number one, if you do have a number one, go-to song when Nanay sets up the karaoke machine?
Yeah. It depends on the crowd, you know, what type of crowd we're trying to entertain.
Surely it's the horses. You've made a few songs with the horses at the moment.
Yeah, Braithwaite. I love a bit of Braithwaite. Don't stop believing.
Sing us a verse.
Hold on to the feeling. Street lights, people.
Oh, bravo. All right. I know I've got to stop it there because you're probably on going all night. So love a good build out. Okay, Kev, marami salamat. We appreciate you taking the time to talk sports with SBS Filipino and get to know a little bit about you during this busy time for you in Los Angeles. So we thank you again and we look forward to the next installment of Kevin Gordon.
Get it to Gordon.
All right, thanks. Thank you.